Hi, just asking my listeners if they would please help Radio Free Brooklyn by pledging a little money to Patreon, which is the way that we are. It's a nonprofit, but we don't make too much money. I'm not making any money. I'm talking about keeping the Radio Free Brooklyn on the air. You can pledge as little as $1 a month, which is $12 per year, which is less than a movie ticket. So, listen, listeners, if you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, PLEDGE, that goes right to the Patreon page. And if you could just pledge us a few bucks, that would be great. I understand I'm broke too. I can barely pay my rent. But if you pledge a little bit of money, that way Radio Free Brooklyn will stay. Because, it isn't, there's not, it's, they're not making money, but it's a way to keep us going. And it's fun. And you have to admit, they have to pay for their lease where they're living. So please give us a buck, honey buns, or maybe $2, or who knows. If there's any rich people
Just
out
go like,
there, give us $1 million, okay?
Hi, this is a new song by Kayvon Zan that was just released. It's called Love Commotion. And you know how love can be a lot of commotion, for Christ's sake. Anyway, it's a great song. Thanks, Kayvon.
By the way, it is Friday. TGIF, thank Jerry, it's Friday.
Yes.
And guess who I have here? the most fabulous person in the world.
Oh, you're too
Kayvon Zand. Kayvon Zand, he's fabulous in many ways because he does lots of things. He's a fabulous singer, performer, nightlife host, actor. Oh. What else do you do, Kayvon?
They would think I was paying you at this point, all this fabulous.
No, I don't get paid for shit, for Christ's sake. I'm broke. I just like Kayvon because you know where I met you, Kayvon? MySpace.
Oh, yeah?
Remember MySpace?
I do. I think it's now the longest living graveyard, virtual graveyard.
I was your friend on MySpace, and I was like, wow, that guy is like, look at his appearance is unbelievable.
Yeah, you thought it was unbelievable?
Yeah, you had like great visuals. Like,
I thought I looked like Guido with
eyeliner. No, you had like your hair, everything was like, whoa. I was like, who the fuck is that guy? Oh. Wow. And then you actually wrote to me on MySpace. I probably have it there somewhere, although I haven't logged in there in years. But it was like you wanted me to cover one of your events because I was writing for New York Press back then.
Oh,
and
yes.
I did wind up going, but I was like, yeah. Yes.
You've always been very supportive.
Yeah,
so.
No, but still, that's you. Where I met you, yeah. Was on MySpace.
I know. We got
back in the good old
thank
days.
Tom. Remember Tom?
Tom? Tom who?
The founder of MySpace. He was in everyone's top
right.
Eight.
Yeah,
Tom,
Tom,
yeah.
Yeah. And then,
good old Tom.
And then years and years ago, I covered a party for New York Press, which was the motherfucker party. And guess who was one of the hosts there?
Who?
Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and you were there. I have pictures of you outside with brown hair. And you were like a young kid out there. You saw the pictures I took.
I didn't realize that I was at a party that Lady Gaga
the funny thing is I didn't,
was hosting.
She
as well.
Was not famous then, so all I can say is that...
I wasn't famous and I'm still not famous, so...
No, nobody... A lot of people weren't famous then, but...
It's,
you know, Lady Gaga then was
me.
Not famous.
But she was not,
was,
I guess.
She
yeah.
probably... I think she got like $100 for, or $50 for hosting the party. But the funny thing is, because I was so obsessive about taking photos back then, I took like about 1,000 photos.
And I was hosting too?
No, I think you were just there.
I was there.
You were outside. And anyway, I was doing an interview about Lady Gaga with Michael T. like several years ago. And he was like, well, Lady Gaga was there. And he said she was wearing a silver dress. And I was like, wait a minute. And then I looked. I had like about 800 photos from it. And many people had said, ooh, that girl is so pretty. But back then she was not famous. And then I was like, oh, shit. I've got like, this is back when she had brown hair too. I said, I've got Lady Gaga, and I sold those photos to the NYU Fales Library.
Yeah, as you
and
should.
She was with her ex-boyfriend then.
you know how
but
to
anyway,
make a buck.
But anyway, that was in the old days when you were. I think I don't remember what year it was exactly, but it was a while ago.
Yeah, it must have been.
There was like Astro Earl. Let's see, all kinds of like you know, Mike
characters.
Matthew Harrisy was in. There were all kinds of. Party people at the, you know, the motherfucker party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
That
I
was
show
all
you
kind
photos.
Of a blur. I'm sure it was a good time.
But anyway, that's where I did meet you back in those days. And then I guess you started doing all kinds. Well, you had many events. When did you say you started in nightlife, would you say, as far as events and parties? You went to them. You
I
came,
don't know.
What year did you come to New York?
I don't remember. I know I've been
but
here
for over. But
approximately
what year did you come to New
well,
York?
Well, I've definitely, I don't know.
Well, you came here... Like 10 years ago, 20 years
well,
ago?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I know I've been here for at least 10 years.
But like, so you've been here
but
about
look,
10 years.
Maybe you can help me out because the first party.
I'm bad with ages also in
yeah.
years.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't remember
I think
how
we're
old
just,
I am.
We're just trying to forget how old we are. the
but
first.
I, like, yeah, but anyway, I know that I was writing about nightlife for New York Press from 2005 through 2011.
Yeah.
And so I did see you around and out and about then. But I think when did you started hosting parties? Probably like in 2013 or something.
Well, the first party that I ever went to was Kenny's party, Happy Valley. You weren't on the scene.
No, I never went there.
Yeah, I don't think you were doing nightlife at the time.
I wasn't.
And that party.
I wish I had, but.
That party I remember was the resurrection of kind of like the club, not the club kid, but the creative nightlife.
Oh yeah.
And
that
I remember
was Suzanne Barch too. Happy
yeah,
Valley.
It started out with Kenny initially, but
yeah.
I think she came on board
yeah.
too. And I think Sophia Lamar and
yeah.
there was a couple other hosts. But at the time, the new kids on the scene were myself and Raquel Reed, this Trey Knight. I don't know if you ever met him. And this kid named Travis T. But I remember Michael Musso had written a column and he mentioned the new club kids on the scene. And I was so excited because it was my first time seeing my name in press.
Yeah.
And then from there, he asked
and
me...
And what were you wearing back then?
Oh, back then, I looked like the lost member of Duran Duran. having an Elvis Presley identity
crisis.
You had
the dark hair. Your hair was dark back then. But it was kind of punked out.
I was really tan. No, I wouldn't say it was punked out. It was actually more simple. My hair has been the craziest.
You're kind of an Elvis Presley person. In one way.
I guess.
Both Capricorns.
Yeah. But that party was kind of the start of me really getting the bug for nightlife. I remember Michael Musso was doing a photo shoot for Paper Magazine, and he had wanted certain nightlife personalities at the time to be in it. So he asked me and Amanda Lepore and a couple other kids who, I don't know what happened to them, but that was my first time being like in print as a personality.
Yeah. And you had done some fashion modeling.
Well,
and stuff.
When I moved here initially, I was modeling. And,
for what?
I had done a lot of just runway stuff. I mean, most of the print work I had was in Europe. I started in London, but I worked in Milan and I worked in Madrid.
Parli italiano?
I don't know. I don't speak any Italian.
You speak Persian, though.
I speak Farsi, yeah.
Can you say a Farsi word?
A Farsi word? What
can
do you want me to
say? Farsi?
Sure.
Can you not swear in Farsi?
Yeah, of course.
Say say something crazy in Farsi.
Let's see.
Come on.
So I'm trying to think of something you would like.
Say something crazy.
What was that word you said on set? You said faculo. What did you say?
Vafanculo is stick it up your ass. Go fuck yourself. How do you say that in Farsi?
Yeah, I wanted to see if there was a translation of that in Farsi.
Or maybe screw you or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think we're as creative as the Italians when it
comes
to our swearing.
They say, how about you piece of shit? Do they have that one?
No, I mean, shit is just the literal shit. Go. I mean, it's like.
What's it called?
Go.
Go?
Go.
Go?
Yeah.
Spell it.
Well, I mean, we don't use the same alphabet, but if I were to try to spell
it
in English.
What's it like? Gore?
G-O-H.
Go. Okay.
But, I mean, you don't call somebody go.
You would, but you, what,
you
if you
say,
hated somebody, what would you say to them?
If I did?
Yeah, in Farsi, I mean.
Kiss of fat.
Kiss of fat?
Kiss of fat.
Kiss of fat?
Kiss.
Kiss of fat?
Kiss of fat means like scum. I know it doesn't sound as bad, but in Farsi it's bad.
Well, it's good to say to people, you know, sometimes on the, but anyway, the point is, you learned Farsi as a child.
I learned Farsi.
And you grew
Farsi.
Up in North Carolina?
I did, Wilmington.
Wilmington.
North Carolina.
Do you ever go back there?
I need to go back more often. It's been at least a year that I've been since
did
I've been in Wilmington.
Did you ever go out to nightlife back there or no?
I did. There was a queer bar there that I saw my first direction. I remember I was horrified.
Why?
I'd never seen anything like that before. And
how old were you? A teenager?
Yeah. So it was, but it was exciting. And I think, you know, it was the first place where I got to like, go in and feel comfortable wearing makeup and dressing.
You're a boy
unusual.
In makeup, and you always have been, right?
I mean, not always.
Well, but for a long time, right?
I tried to sneak it at first. I think in high school I wore makeup, but I was getting more and more brave, and then I started wearing like weird contact. Like it was a gradual thing.
Have you had like a lot of shit bothering you because of that? Like people harassing you because of it?
Where?
Well,
here in North Carolina.
By anywhere.
I mean, you should know better than anyone. Taylor's oldest.
No, but I'm saying, do you feel that a boy in makeup, do you feel that people, like, not now, but back in the old days, were you harassed a bit? Or people impressed and thought it was fabulous? Both, right?
I don't know. I've never, like, been attacked or really gotten into an argument. I think the worst that's happened to me in public might be, like, someone rode their bike and called me faggot or something. I mean, but,
oh, yeah, like that.
But they were, like, running away. Also, I'm big. I'm tall.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'2", naturally.
Whoa.
But between the hair and, you know.
Did you ever play football?
Well, let me answer one question at a time.
Yeah. But you strike me as a person.
It's like 100 questions.
I'm saying, were you kind of an athletic kid in college or high school?
I played some soccer, but.
You look like you could beat the shit out of somebody if you needed to.
I think I definitely have a side to me that can be aggressive at times, but I think I'm a gentle giant in most ways, but when my when it kicks in, it kicks in, you know? And I think it's like, actually there was one time at Lasuk on a Thursday, not too long ago. We were some
friends.
Now
wait a minute, let's tell our listeners, Kayvon Zand has some fabulous parties. There's Lasuk on Thursday night.
What? That's...
Say Kayvon Zand at the door. Right?
Yes, yes.
And look for him in the back. They have like free, they have like food and drinks.
I mean,
and stuff.
Thursdays at La Souk is really hilarious to me because we have this friend named Lennox who has started hosting it.
Who?
We brought him on as a host named Lennox.
Yeah.
Lennox the robot. Shout out to him. And he does these huge, crazy looks. So all these new club kids are doing like these huge, giant looks where they're dressing up as houses and like big phones and whatever you think of that's crazy and out there. And then on Thursdays when they come out, they're like doing like they're like, you know, girl looks. So they're trying to be like pretty girls. And it's really fun and funny because they're usually walking around just looking like mascots, and then on Thursday nights they're like getting ratchet and twerking with the straight guys and stuff. It's really funny.
Yeah.
So that's Thursdays. It's a dinner party. They do dinner.
It's nice. Yeah, it's a nice party.
Tuesday nights is my favorite. Hitchcock Disco at the Rumpus Room.
And now has Alfred Hitchcock come to the party yet?
Not yet.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm taking it very personally.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
But it's Hitchcock Disco, and that's at the Rumpus Room.
Yes.
Which is basically, was it, it's near Houston Street and, is it Eldridge?
249 Eldridge
yes.
Street.
And it's really a fun party. I love it.
It's a real downtown party. It's
Tuesday night, every Tuesday night after 10 p.m.
The new generation, it's a mix of everything. You have club kids, you have drag queens, you have rockers, you have hipsters,
you have
regular people.
You have performances.
We have performances every Tuesday. It's a theme of a unique Hitchcock film.
And it's free, right?
It's free.
Yeah. So.
And then Friday nights.
All right. Those of you listening, get out of your shell.
And Friday nights,
Tuesday
I'm at the box.
Nights, Tuesday nights, it's the Rumpus Room, Hitchcock Disco. Friday night, Kayvon has a party at the box. Now, should they say your name at the door?
Yeah, it's not my own party. The box is a cabaret.
Right,
so
but they can go there.
If they want to come and hang out.
That's on the Lower East
and
Side
sit,
on
sit with
Street.
Me. Yeah, just put on something fun and say my name at the door and hang out. Yeah.
And then on Thursday night, you have the...
Zan Supper Club.
Yeah, at the La Souk, which is in the Village.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of stuff going on.
I would like to do more. I have a baby on the way. I need to make more money.
Yeah, you're
if
a
anyone
father
out there
now.
Is looking to
you're
hire
a
somebody.
Father. And I went to your wedding. Anna, you're at Anna Ozan's wedding. It was really fantastic.
Thank you.
What was the name of that place?
The Lowe's Landmark Theater. It's a historical site.
Was it in...
Jersey City.
Jersey City. Oh, it's beautiful.
Very beautiful. That's where Frank Sinatra was discovered.
Wow.
And that same stage that we got married, Judy Garland had performed there as well.
Wow.
So the energy there is just, when you walk in, I'm sure you sensed it. I remember Kenny was saying that, the energy.
Do you think that Frank was there?
Maybe
he was, or Judy Garland
was
there.
I would love to say that Frank Sinatra was a guest at our wedding.
But it was really fun.
It was a lot of fun, yes. Thank you for coming, too.
No, I loved it. You know, you're very good at events, that's one thing.
You think so?
Of course I do. Come
okay.
on. And
thanks.
You're also good at performing and acting.
Oh.
So tell us about when did you start doing your music career?
Well, I mean, if career means making money, I don't really have a career
no,
in music because
start,
I'm not making money from music.
When did you
I don't
start,
know who
no,
is,
honey,
but,
it's not about the career.
Yeah.
It's about when did you start getting interested in singing and doing music and stuff.
Well,
like,
I was
a child.
I
or?
Never really, as a kid, I never thought I was going to be a singer or be someone who sang to express themselves. I always enjoyed watching music videos and watching artists. I think the first time I really came in touch with an art form, it was, you know, through music videos. So I always associated singing as a part of an artist expressing themselves through music and through video, because that was the age of music videos. So as I got older and I, you know, really wanted to create art and to share it, I felt like my canvas was really myself, because truthfully...
But you played the piano very well.
That was my way of expressing...
And when did you start doing that? When you were a teenager?
Yeah, no, at 3.
What?
I started playing at 3.
3 years old?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I taught myself by ear, which, you know, is is something that I've always really enjoyed and obviously had interest in. But yeah, then I started writing and...
Writing
I also
what?
Played an orchestra in
writing
high school.
Writing songs?
In middle school, yeah. Compositions.
You ain't better than Whitney. You ain't better than Whitney. Cause you ain't better than me. You ain't better than Whitney. You ain't better than Whitney. You ain't better than Whitney. Cause you ain't better than me.
I'm gonna stand up.
You ain't better than Whitney.
I'm gonna step, step to me. You wanna step, step, step on me. Just stop, I'm on the come up.
I'm gonna stand up, I'm gonna stand for me. You better stay down and let me be. I'm gonna stand up, I'm gonna stand for me. You better stay down and let me be.
Decided that I wanted to perform, and you know, yeah. Nightlife is all about using your body and your own image as your art form, so that really was appealing to me.
So and you write your own music?
I do, for the most part, yes.
And you play the violin and viola, right?
Primarily the piano. I haven't played the violin and viola in a long time, actually, so I'm not sure if I can play that anymore.
And so you have a couple of EPs out and lots of music videos. How many music videos?
Well, I have a new track out, which we are temporary produced. It's called Love Commotion, and it's really the first time that a producer let me co-produce and taught me, you know, how to work around the programs. So that was really special, and I'm so happy with that track because I feel like it's really me. I wrote the song.
And who was the producer?
We Are Temporary.
Are Temporary?
Yeah. It's a musical act / production.
It said also that you worked with Chufu and Gomination also.
Yeah, I worked with Chufu on One Way Flight.
Yeah.
We did another track together, but I never got to hear that. But yeah, that was fun doing that project.
The Domination too?
Gomi? Yeah.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, he's cool. I did an EP with him, actually. But I actually, you know, for then, like, that's where I was at. But now I'm really in more of a, I think, ambient kind of, I don't know, more cinematic style of music, just not really pop. That's not where I'm at, you know. Back then I was more influenced, I guess, by what was happening in the pop industry, but I don't feel that way anymore.
So what are you influenced by
right now?
Yeah,
I don't know. I seem to really enjoy a lot of the UK, like, electronic R&B type mm-hmm. of combinations.
So what are your favorite performers, would you say?
I don't know. I don't really go out. I don't go out and watch performances.
No, I mean, I'm going to talk about even old school. What are the ones you kind of like?
I go on kicks. Like, last night, I was making my dog dance, and we have an inside joke, you know, about his breath.
Which dog? This one?
Tristan, yeah.
Tristan? So, Tristan, can you tell us what
there
you
was?
Think?
There was a lyric in a Janet Jackson song where she said something about her breath and blew her breath. And I have a corny sense of humor, so it reminded me of my dog. So I just went on a kick looking at all the videos from the 80s and performances.
You've got some really cute dogs here.
Yeah.
I wish they could speak English, but, you know.
Yeah, they don't speak them. English.
See, they're talking now.
They are.
I'm getting an interview with them.
Yeah, you are.
I love these little dogs, and you've got They're a beautiful
cute.
Cat too.
Yeah, Merlin.
He's and you have what kind of birds are those?
Those are doves, white doves.
Doves. I'm in Kayvon's beautiful apartment, by the way, and he's got doves, and he's got fish. He's a he's an animal lover.
I guess it's safe to say I am. Yes.
Yeah. You're very nice.
People say that like it's a surprise.
No, I don't think so. But I feel like some people criticize you, maybe because you're kind. I mean, would you say that you're goth?
No.
But some people might say that, right? I think we're very
limited with how we can describe someone's style. There's only a couple key words, and I think because I'm light complected, and you know,
even though you're Persian,
well, a lot of Persians are light complected.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But and I've dark features on top of it. You know, dark hair and stuff.
And my style. Zant, your wife is a blonde.
I know.
And you did have blonde hair for a while, which I did find rather interesting.
I think I had blonde hair for the majority of the time that you've known me.
No, that's not true.
It's pretty true.
No, I used to kid to you about it. I was like, hey.
I was blonde for, what, 6 years?
Yeah, you were blonde for a long time.
5.
But I remember that I used to talk about your hair color, and you switched, which I think is funny.
I switched.
But I like it both.
Yeah, do you?
Yes,
because at the time,
course.
I think you liked the black.
When well, I, first... I like the black, but I like the fact
blonde
that you
grew
got
on
blonde
you?
Hair.
It grew on
of
you?
Of course, and I think... changing your hair color is interesting.
Is it? Yeah.
Absolutely. But it was funny to see both you and Anna have the same color, especially when you got married. It's like two blonde bitches.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed being able to...
And your hair is incredible. It's like, is that really your hair? Or is it a wig?
No, it's my hair.
Wow.
This is incredible to you?
No, I mean, you have such long hair. I mean, when you've had those big updos, I'm like, wait a minute. You know how most people have wigs on, you know, nowadays?
I mean...
Especially drag queens.
I definitely play with fake hair, but I mean, all the updos and everything are my real hair. If I ever wear a wig, usually it's when my hair is just straight because my hair is naturally curly.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like curling it, so sometimes I just, you know,
it says
take the
John
easy route.
Sex hair. Well, you know, his hair is like unbelievable.
John Sex, yeah. Awesome artist.
But anyway, yeah, no, I would say very incredible thing about Kayvon Zand is his look is unbelievable.
Thank you.
And also his style.
I feel like my look is so normal now. I see all these new kids dressing up as robots and like houses and all these inanimate objects. And I'm just like, man.
Yeah, but the thing that I find interesting also about your parties is that you attract those kind of people. Like you attract, what I like about your parties is they're very mixed. You've got it's gay, straight.
Yeah.
You've got drag queens.
Yeah,
burlesque,
I like that.
Women. I mean, it's all different types of people.
I think because I'm a mix of a lot of different things myself.
It's a nice
so
combination.
People, I think all these people can see their sides of me.
Yeah.
And maybe it feels
I think it's
comfortable.
A good combination.
Yeah.
So the people that like to go out to parties, even, no matter what type of person they are, they're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of your acting, then you've been doing... different things, like you're in that film with me now, Vampires.
Yeah, I know.
And
we're,
you are...
You're my scene partner.
Yeah, and who the hell are you? You're like, what's your name?
I forgot my name. What was
it? Yeah, it begins with a K.
I can't remember the character.
K, it begins with a K.
Yeah, it's...
But anyway, you're a character in that. And are you a zombie or a vampire?
I'm not sure what I am.
But anyway, you're really funny in that. But
I know that I'm just crazy and I get electrocuted a lot.
Yeah, and it says that you were also a terrorist in the RuPaul film Star Booty.
I'm the opening scene for that film.
What year was that?
I don't remember. You know me in years. I'm
horrible. Yeah, I know, but it was like several years ago.
It was when Ru lived here in New York before
oh, wow.
He moved to the West Coast and did Drag
and
Race.
And you were in this Japanese show, The World's Astonishing News.
Yeah, I played Elvis Presley in that. I mean, my IMDb page is more up to date. I'm in another film that...
What
is
film?
In post-production. God damn. I can't remember any
titles. I know. I'm like you, too.
Look at my IMDb page. You'll see what I've been up to.
Yeah,
IMDb.
But also, let's talk about this TV show that I know irritated the crap out of you. But America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
So tell me, how did you get on that and what happened?
I was asked to be on it for 2 years back-to-back. The first year, I declined. And the second year... I spoke with a gay producer who had, he was a nice guy and he really made me feel like it was the right platform for me. But, you know, after my experience, I disagree with that. But, yeah, I was asked to be on the show.
And, you did, what song did you do?
I did several songs. They only aired, the judges' cuts, which was halfway through the competition. But for the producers, I did a cover because they didn't really want original music, which was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
I think I did a cover of that song by Sinead O'Connor. I can't remember the name right now. And then for the first televised audition, I did Tainted Love. And then for Judges Cuts, I did You Spin Me Right Round.
But tell me what, I mean, I think a lot of those kind of TV shows can be very annoying in a way, but did you find
it works out good for some people.
But, I mean, did you find there was something interesting about doing it?
Was there anything interesting?
Well,
yeah, of course.
Did you get anything out of it?
I don't know. I guess, you know, it depends on what you consider to be a value. I think for me, I'm not one of those people who could just be like all business and not like feel about what's happened or, you know, so for me, like, I think if I were to weigh the pros and the cons, I don't really think that it really helped that much, but you know, for some people, those are great opportunities. It just wasn't really the right opportunity for me.
Was there anything fun about it or not really?
I mean, it was exciting at the time. I think the product definitely, I mean, it was exciting at first seeing myself, you know, when they were advertising and stuff. I just wasn't sure what direction they were going to go with. You know, they didn't show the first round, which was a good round for me. I had a good experience there. They didn't show that. So I felt like maybe if they balanced me out and gave me more time for people to get to know me and see all sides of me, I would have been happier. But also the episode that they aired, I feel like, you know, they needed a character to kind of be, whether you want to say the villain or the delusional person or however, you know, I was supposed to be in that episode. But yeah, I mean, definitely was, there was a lot of editing and the conversation flow wasn't organic. I mean, the responses weren't, the
but
responses that happened
the
in real time.
The host that show or the judge the show, they're kind of very negative to some extent, right?
Well, I mean, I can only speak of my experience. I mean, I don't know how
but it, seems
it is
like,
for other people.
It seems like they can be.
I felt that they were with me, yes.
And I've seen them with other people doing that,
yeah.
too. But you seem like you were able to combat back.
I mean, you know, I just feel like at the end of the day, everyone has a pushing point. I mean, I wish that I was more like collected and just, you know, composed and be like, thank you very much, and walk up the stage. But then again, I'm like, that's not really my personality either. I mean, I feel like when I'm feel backed into a wall, I definitely speak for myself. And at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. You know, people say, well, you should have known what you stepped up for, and some people believe that there was editing, some people don't. I mean, I don't really care anymore. I've moved on from it.
Yeah, well,
it is what
know,
it is. And
you know, when you're on TV shows, which I've been on, you just have to deal with the bullshit, but sometimes it's good publicity.
Yeah,
but
I just,
it's like you don't have control over how it's
that's what we've been programmed to think. I mean, it's unfortunate that we have to think we have to suffer to be seen and celebrated as people who are individuals. And that, I think that's really sad that we have to think we have to deal with that because we deserve it to some degree and we don't.
But would you say to our listeners, if somebody's a fledgling singer or performer, can they make money from it, or is it they have to do other things too?
I mean, everyone's different. I mean, the music industry, I mean, I can't speak of it from the perspective of a mainstream performer or, you know, household name. So I don't know what it's like for them.
But
for
I
me,
feel like it is hard to make money as a singer.
For
but
me, I make money from nightlife. I've
yeah.
made money from performances. I've made money from commercials, you know, for like Volkswagen.
You did some commercials. Which commercials?
Yeah, I did a commercial for Volkswagen
wow.
Golf. Yeah.
When
I did
you do that? Several years ago?
Yeah. I did.
And how'd you get that gig?
I was contacted. Yeah.
Very cool.
That was cool. Yeah, I did a couple commercials for WOM Mobile, which is the Nextel in Chile. Yeah, just being myself. So that was cool. Yeah, I mean, and you know, I've done some magazine work. I've been in Italian Vanity Fair, Paper Magazine, Interview Magazine, French Glamour. So that stuff is cool and fun, you know, but that was before the TV show. I didn't need to argue with people on TV to make things happen for myself. You know, I thought it would have been a good opportunity to expose myself to maybe new fans. That's what I was hoping to get out of it. But unfortunately, it was really the reverse. If anything, I have a lot of these kids from the site who just like spam my YouTube videos and like wish me death threats. Which is kind of funny. I don't think they're funny. I just think they're young.
They're jealous?
You know what it is? I think they're young, and I think that they're they don't have their own mindset yet, and they're in small town, so of course.
But don't some of them love you?
They think the TV.
Some of them love you, and then some.
Oh yeah. No, no, no. I'm not trying to play the victim in it at all.
I agree that if you're not, if people don't say crap about you, then you're not great. If you're great, there's always going to be some people that are like.
You know, I think whenever, you know, you pop your cherry in any situation, you know, it's probably, I mean, I'm sure if something like this were to happen again, it'd be, I mean, now it's a lot easier for me to digest being a year later, but at first it was really difficult because I'd never been outside of my community, you know, having performed with our people and our friends and being found organically through the internet with people who like the same things, you're appreciated. But the step into a world where, you know, men in makeup and, you know, a certain style of performing or whatever, you know, you're judged, and then you throw in a confrontation with it. It's just, you know, all the recipes for hell.
Do you feel that sometimes the gay community, who are friends with you, but do you feel like some gay guys are, like, kind of annoyed that you're a guy with makeup?
No.
Are
I've never
sure?
felt that way.
I felt that, not the drag queens, but yeah. I feel like some regular gay guys are like...
Annoyed at you?
No, not annoyed that you, like... Oh, come on. He's not straight. He's got makeup on.
I never said that I'm straight.
You don't think that?
Well, I never said that I'm straight.
No, I know. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, some guys are like, oh, he's got makeup on. You know, like...
I've never heard anyone say that to me. That I've got makeup on? I mean, it's very clear when I'm wearing makeup.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very good.
I think, I mean, if anything, now it's like we have the opportunity to be exposed to so many different types of people through... You know, from different types of trans people, you know, everyone's story is unique. And just because let's say you were to transition from male to female, that doesn't mean that you're going to date a male. You could be interested in women. I think now we're at a point where we're lucky enough to be have people share their stories to where we're open-minded, where we don't just say, okay, well, if you look like this, then you must be into this, and this is what you do.
Well, I still think there's some of that, which I do find annoying, but
I mean,
think it's opening up a bit. But.
If there is, I mean, that's their problem, not mine.
Absolutely, of course.
We never see.
now that you're going to be a father in the fall, is that going to change? Do you think that will change your lifestyle? Or,
oh,
I mean, you're used to having pets and dogs, so
yeah.
I suppose you're used to being responsible.
I think for people who know me, it's not a stretch, because people who really know me, for me, know I'm a very nurturing person, and I love a lot the people and the things that I care about. So I don't think for those people it'd be a stretch. But yeah, I think...
Well, you know, sometimes when a baby comes about, it does take a lot of dedication. Especially the first couple of years. I mean, once they start going to school, it's a little easier, but the first couple of years can be demanding.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but you're looking forward to it.
Well, this wasn't an accident. This was planned, so...
It's excellent.
We have an idea of what to expect, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of surprises and moments where, like, how the hell did we make it through this? But there's not a guide to parenting, you know? I feel like you have to really get it, you have to do it and learn.
Can you bring the baby to the nightclubs?
I wouldn't bring a baby to a nightclub.
Why not?
Maybe to an event, but not a place where there's...
Oh, to an event, yeah.
Just loud music and stuff. I don't have a problem with the people... With our community, like, you know, maybe they could get to know the baby outside of an event that's loud, just loud music and heavy drinking. You know, you have to be careful.
But I do feel like nightclubs are very stupid about, like, okay, you don't think that a baby's going to be drinking, okay?
It's not about the baby. I think other people drinking.
Yeah, but, like, why don't they let babies go to clubs? They're not going to drink.
But who would want to take their baby to a club?
I would if I had one.
I don't think the problem is that babies can't go to clubs. I think people just don't want to take their baby to a club.
If I had a baby, I'd take it to a club.
Well, maybe we could open a nightclub and you could be the babysitter. We'll have
yes,
a nanny
I
service.
I would like that. I would love that. Well, you know, my sister has 5 kids, so...
Oh, yeah? Oh, so your aunt.
I'm
nice.
Used to babysitting.
Nice.
But I would say this, that basically, sometimes don't... I mean, I don't want to, like, get into too much, like, gossip, but I would say that... Sometimes nightclubs can be challenging in terms of in New York City because it's a financial question and, you know, like the venues. Have you found that that's the case? Like you've had different parties at different places that were fabulous.
Yeah.
I love Dorian Gray at the
DL. Yeah, that was fun.
I love the Museum of Sex party.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I loved, all the parties. You had Bowery Electric.
Yeah.
But, of course, you varied your locations and all that. Do you feel that there's something that... New York nightlife venues could do to make it better for everybody?
To make what better?
To make things more easy.
As far as what?
Well, you know, back in the old days, the venues, I think, it was more like big time, whereas now I feel that there's a lot of problems or issues. You know.
I think you have more problems in nightclubs than I do.
No, I think that, well, I think that that bottle service thing is not as big as, I think that's kind of on the downswing now a bit, but... You know, like, there are certain things about New York nightlife that can kind of put a damper.
I mean, granted, I don't go out if I'm not working at this point.
Yeah.
For me, like, my day job is nightlife.
Yeah.
You know, that's
but,
how I see it.
I mean, don't you see that it seems like most parties... I mean, there occasionally will be a party that will stay at one venue forever, but occasionally it's just like, okay, we have to switch to another place because, I don't know, there's either the people that... work there or you know what I mean seem like that's been a lot of issues.
From my experience, I mean, the reason who do we know that's been at the same club forever? I mean, it's like parties are like, you know, apartments for people. It's like,
but
how
no,
many
I
people
mean,
are in the same apartment
it's because
forever
I think
in
that
New York,
the owners
you know?
Of the nightclub sometimes suddenly become difficult and then it's like
yeah.
Oh wait a minute, we gotta go to another one.
Well, I mean, things happen, different clubs, different situations. I mean, this day and age, there's a lot of factors to why
it
a party...
It could be about money, because money,
can,
everything's so expensive.
A party
now.
Can move because of money. It can move because, you know, the club is closing. It can move because the club, you know, is having problems with the community board. You know, this day and age, that's a reality.
Well, like that DL party.
Yeah.
I feel like the DL is sort of like the Bermuda Triangle.
Is it?
Like, they've had so many different parties there, but...
I think mine was... the longest and best running
that
ones
really
they had.
Fun. Yeah. I had a party there with Michael Cavadillas for a while.
Oh yeah.
But it seemed like when you were there,
party did you have?
It was called Critters.
Oh really?
I was there. It was every Friday. It was like for about 6 months.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And Michael Cavadillas was doing the DJing, and I was one of the hosts.
Oh nice.
And it was fun. But I feel like the DL has gone through many different changes, and there seemed like there was some community problem that they had, but which is unfortunate because. Okay, it's Lower East Side, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the update on that is, but, I mean, since that incident, you know, I met with the owner, and we're cool, and they have some other clubs they wanted me to do some stuff at. So,
yeah.
You know, we've moved on. We're good. Everything's cool.
Yeah, it's just, well, it could also be just because of how expensive New York City is.
I mean, at the time, I think it was just a neighborhood situation. I think they were under a lot of pressure. And.
But I wonder if they still are. Maybe not as
maybe.
Much.
I don't know. I mean.
But how could they be under pressure? I mean, it's the Lower East Side, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I don't know.
That is weird.
Write your politicians, your local politicians.
Well, you know, I mean, there have been periods where these sort of local people get mad at people making noise. But, I mean, I don't think that the DL, it's like, it was like a big place, and I don't think the noise would disturb the neighbors, really. Yes,
no.
There was like sometimes people waiting outside out front, but it's not the most residential area. I would say it's, you know, kind of we're at the center of like lots of restaurants,
yeah,
and stores.
I thought that,
and
I agree with
it's
you.
Not like
that was kind
of
strange.
Like
it was very strange. But
yeah.
You know, I mean, I was having this conversation with this director I met with earlier today. You know, being a performer in New York, you know, you deal with a lot of controversy, and I've dealt with it from the Highline shows.
I remember
that
time that you were at that what was that the Highline Ballroom?
Yeah.
And what happened? I didn't go, but I heard about it.
I think the funny thing is that people who know me know I'm just like really laid back. And it's funny, though, I get in these big, like, press situations where my name is in the press, and I just look like this guy who's troublesome. And it's
and
funny
you're
because...
a father and a husband.
Yeah.
So screw those people.
Yeah. Well,
they're
the funny
stupid.
Thing is, just I think...
Hey, the Highline Ballroom, you're idiots.
I think my image... No, but actually, I've performed at the Highline Ballroom
since
then. Yeah,
it can
then.
Be okay.
I've
but
performed
I think
at the
that what
Ballroom
happened didn't seem like... It seems something about...
You know
something.
What? You can't hold a grudge with this stuff. It comes
well,
and it goes.
Well, it's not... See, the thing is that people change. So
yeah,
the people
right.
that did it may not be there
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah.
But whoever did it, I think, made a mistake.
No one... Yeah.
No, they made a mistake.
I mean, at the end of the day, if... I mean, hey, you know...
I do hold grudges, though, against some
You're Italian.
Places.
You're Italian.
I'm Italian. Oh, Bafangulo. Well, there's a couple... I mean, I do forget about things sometimes, but... You know, when that bouncer threw me out on the sidewalk in
the
boiler room, I ain't going back there.
No, that's different.
Yeah, but
that's
I mean,
different.
You know, every
when things get physical, that's
in nightlife, things can come up that are different, and you know, things can happen. But I would say that you can't because the people change. It's like okay, maybe a couple of months ago or a couple of years ago, it was different.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can hold a grudge forever, but
right.
still, I feel that what happened to you then. Was kind of absurd in a way because you had a fun performance and whoever it was that made it an issue about it was being kind of uptight, right?
Yeah, you know what it is? I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I think one, we all, like you've been thrown out of places, you know,
yeah.
and we've all dealt with that as creatives where people just don't feel comfortable with who we are. But I think
but
the
normally,
reason... Hold on.
Normally,
I think
no, but normally when you or I go to a nightclub,
right.
we don't have to pay to get in.
Right, right.
And we don't have to wait in line.
Yeah,
so
but I
normally
think,
that's the case.
This is what I think. I think that happens to all creative people.
Yeah.
But I think with me, a lot of people who are in positions of influence watch me. And then they get a hold of the story and then it goes to something bigger. And then all of a sudden it becomes a bigger thing than it should be. Because then when something goes public or it's, you know, on Page Six or on NBC or Village Voice or any type of publication, then you have to hear everybody's opinion. Then it blows up in your mind to be a bigger thing. I think if these situations had happened and it didn't turn into a big press type of thing, it wouldn't really be such a big issue. I think those things just kind of sensationalize them and make them bigger because you deal with all the comments and, you know, these days... The internet and trolling, you know, it's really a problem.
Well, I think what's interesting about you, Kayvon, is that while you're very out there and very avant-garde, by the same token, I feel that you are independent and, you know, you're like, you're unique. You have a
Thank
unique
you.
Style
Thank
and
you.
You're smart.
I mean, I definitely try to go with how I'm feeling at the time. I mean,
you're an iconoclast. You don't have to... conform to every stupid jerk out there, you know?
No.
Like, I like the fact that, okay, you used to live downtown, but now you're in Midtown.
Yeah.
I like that.
You like it?
Yes, I do. Look, I used to live, I've always lived uptown, but you're Midtown. I like that.
Yeah, okay.
Why? Because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, but I still think that you've done many different types of things.
I have.
In different areas, so that's interesting.
Yeah. I definitely...
What was your career as a teenager?
What do most teenagers have a career.
What were you doing back in the old days?
Like, what age?
I don't know. Early teens? You started doing performing and stuff, but what did you do before you came to New York?
Well, I mean, like I said, I was modeling.
Modeling?
But that wasn't really a career. It was just enough to pay for me being away from home at the time, and I wasn't a very successful or good model. I think
How did you meet Anna, by the way?
I met Anna, my friend...
At a party?
No, actually, Dylan had dragged me out one night with our friend Rachel, who had...
Rachel who?
Rachel Waters.
Okay.
Yeah, she goes by Io. She's written a couple columns for the Huffington Post. She's a really cool girl. You might know her. But she ended up... they ended up dragging me out to this Chris Smack party, which Chris Smack is the goth promoter. And, you know, I like different parties, and I used to go to that type of stuff more often when I was actually going out. But Rachel and Anna are both from Georgia, so they had, I guess, formed somewhat of a friendship over that. They were meeting up, and... Dylan and Rachel dragged me there, and we met, and the rest
along.
Is history. Yeah.
Well, she is so beautiful.
Yeah. Well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. She. I mean. Like, she is. That's a given. But the only reason I disregard that is because I think everybody knows that. But I think
has Anna ever looked ugly? I don't think so.
No.
Not even when she was a child. She's always been gorgeous.
I didn't know her when she was a child.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's like unbelievable how gorgeous she always is.
She is. Yes. She absolutely is. But I think. What people don't know about Anna is that she's really gorgeous. Not, I mean, obviously on the outside, but she's a really good person.
And how many months pregnant is she now?
We're now stepping into the third trimester, so
wow.
7 months.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, in a couple months.
And also, she seems very, very active and not like when my sister was pregnant. Sometimes she'd be like in pain and be very like blah, where she seems rather. You know, jovial still.
I mean, Anna's out with glitter on the bump and dancing with everyone else.
That's
and
fantastic.
It's good. I think it's good for her, too, because I wouldn't want her to think that being a mother is like the end of her social life, because it's not.
Of course not.
You know?
I know if I'd ever had kids, but unfortunately the stupid guys I was with weren't able to do it. I would bring the kids to all the parties, and I think what annoys me sometimes about people in New York is that they are prejudiced against parents. Have you noticed that?
Not yet.
Sometimes it's like, I do see that a little bit like the people that are parents seem to be in another kind of thing, but I feel like that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the response has been, if anything, inspiring.
No, I think very positive.
Inspiring
yes,
to
course.
Our friends because
people are excited
it seems
about
more
it.
Accessible.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But I do think that I do see sometimes people that are in sort of the family thing, they're in a different kind of... You know, I mean, I do have a few friends that are parents, but I would say that in some way, the sort of New York City, you know, being a parent can be a bit of a challenge, you know.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Schools and all that stuff.
We're already
trying
to figure out, you know, doing a lot of reading and just reading different blogs and trying to learn from other people's experiences. I think that's the most valuable thing.
I mean, it's not as easy as living in the suburbs where, like, you have a car and everything.
We're thinking of maybe doing that.
Yeah, getting a car.
No, actually, like, moving, buying a house.
Oh, really? To
like,
where?
Maybe, like, in New Jersey or something.
Oh, cool. Why not?
There's some old, like, beautiful, like, Victorian mansions that, you know,
just need some TLC.
They need some love and care, and they'll be, you know.
I mean, it is nice.
Live the Addams Family fantasy out there.
Yeah, the Addams Family. But it is nice to have a backyard for a kid, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I always do what people think isn't cool at the time, you know, and I think Jersey's definitely has a bad rap. But from what I've been looking a lot on Trulia the past year, and that's where the house is, the architecture is just so beautiful. And I'm like, wow.
And it's not that far. Like, I know people that live in Jersey City or, you know, Hoboken and those places.
Yeah.
And it's not that far.
No.
And if you have a car, it makes it easy.
Yeah,
you know
but
how to drive?
I had to relearn how to drive when I did the Volkswagen commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was
Can
stick
Anna
shift.
Drive?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't driven in years, but...
Yeah. I started driving when I was, like, 15.
Me too.
Because I grew up in the burbs.
Well, I grew up in North Carolina, so I knew how to drive.
You had to drive. I didn't want my parents to drive me everywhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I think that Jersey could be... I mean, I was even thinking Atlantic City just because...
Oh, that's
a
bit
far. It's
kind of far,
though. But there's some really cheap houses there.
Really?
Yeah, like some cheap apartments, and it's like you're right on the beach. You know, but it is kind of...
Well, that Coney Island was really nice, too.
Where?
Coney Island.
I love Coney Island.
When we went out there for the shoot, I was surprised with how beautiful it was.
And it is a lot cheaper.
Is it cheap?
Oh, yes. I know people that live out there.
I got to start looking out there.
Michael Alec has a really big place, and it, there's, like, apartments there that are nice. But you could also buy something out there, too.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
And it is... It reminds me of New York City, the way New York City used to be back in the old days.
Yeah.
Still has that really cool kind of thing.
Yeah, there's something special there. That's
but,
for sure.
You know, it is a bit of a train ride, so that's why if I would live there, drive. I would probably want to have a car.
Yeah, you want a car.
Yeah. But anything else you want to tell me?
Wow. I mean, I feel like there's so much going on. We've touched so many topics.
Any good gossip?
By the way,
this is Jerry Visco on Radio Free Brooklyn. Visco Disco, The Stupid Show. It airs every Friday at midnight. And I have the fabulous Kayvon Zand on here. And this is fantastic, and his music is unbelievable. I'm going to play some of that.
I'm paying her to say these nice things.
No, you're not paying me. If you want to pay me later, but it won't be for that.
Okay,
gotcha. Hire me to be in your show.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kayvon, tell us some. What would you like to tell us? That
I would like people to know, if they don't know, that Jerry Visco, just like she has an appearance that a lot of people may not understand. I'm sure you've seen her screaming in the street, but...
And I like to scream all the time.
She is genuinely one of the nicest people that I've met in New York. She is one of those people who does things for people and isn't expecting anything. And I think that's very rare and says a lot about your character. And
if you ever knew my boyfriends and husbands, they used to beat me up. And I used to pay for they didn't have a job and I'd have to pay the rent for them. That's kind of stupid. Cancer women are idiots.
Oh, wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, but, I've never once had any guy support me whatsoever. Never. That's why
I can't wait for your book to come. I think your life is fascinating.
Yeah, it's been difficult.
And I see other people seem to think so. You're in the New York Times. You know, you have the article on Refinery 29. You have a documentary being made.
Well,